Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are waking up on your wild card Monday, oh, at least you've got more football to look forward to. But man, it is early. Whether you're in the Eastern time zone, it's 4 a.m. or if it's 3 a.m., maybe it's earlier if you're in the Mountain or Pacific time zones. If you work overnight, you drive overnight, maybe you're studying, getting back into the flow with school. I know that's always a tough thing coming out of, actually it could be a winter sesh, right? Coming out of the holidays, just tough to get back into a routine. I was teaching my elementary school kiddos at church on Sundays, Sunday morning, and I asked them about their first full week back in school, and there were a bunch of groans about how hard it was to get up early again in the morning after a couple of weeks off for the holidays. But again, at least there's football. Who is your Monday MVP? We've got a poll up at Amy After Hours, and you can find it there. I'll throw it up on our Facebook page as well. I did retweet it too, so you can also grab it at A-Law Radio. Monday MVP. We've gotten creative with the answers. We actually put an entire unit of one of the teams in there. And then we went defense for one of the options as well. So you can check it out. You can vote yourself in the wake of what were five games. Now, here's something that I found to be interesting. For years, the NFL was pass happy, right? Some of the extraordinary records that we've seen broken, 5,000 passing yards in a season. We've seen Hall of Fame quarterbacks who one up each other with the most passing touchdowns, the most passing yards, Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. A lot of the last 15 years has been seeing the NFL tilted toward high potent, high powered, high octane passing attacks. Couple of running quarterbacks here or there, but for the most part, what did we see a few, was it 2 years ago in the offseason, where the salaries for running backs weren't to their liking? The NFL Players Association was complaining. The running backs themselves were talking about being undervalued. But in the last two seasons, we've seen a resurgence in dominant run games. Now, a lot of that has to do with the offensive lines. It has to do with the fact that you've got a commitment to the run game and an O-line that can make it happen. So here we are in the playoffs. We've had five games that are already in the books. Take the Commanders out of it because that's the one aberration. It's also the one team that won on the road. Okay, so there's only one road winner so far this weekend. As it turns out, either the Vikings or Rams will end up winning away from home. But the Rams are the home team in Arizona on Monday night. Here's what stands out. Of the four home teams that won their wild card games, each of them was dominant with the ground attack. So to start, the Texans, 168 yards rushing. Joe Mixon. He not only had a touchdown late in the game, but he was over 100 yards himself. Okay, so that's Houston. Philadelphia, we're going to talk about the Eagles and the Packers momentarily. 169 yards rushing. Saquon Barkley, he goes for 119 of that 169. And even though Philly was 1-for-4 in the red zone, which is leaving a lot of points out there, you know that by using the run game for a good portion of their battle with the Packers, they were dominating time of possession. Now, it didn't end up that way. It ended up more balanced. But they were using that run game like they've had all season. That's their identity now. So 168 for Houston, 169 for Philadelphia, 210 for Buffalo. When was the last time that Buffalo was a power rushing attack? But they've developed into that because the O-line is so good and because James Cook is flourishing. And of course, you could always count on some quarterback runs with Josh. And then we haven't talked about Steelers Ravens yet, but we will. Baltimore, 299 yards rushing behind Derrick Henry, which is why he's one of the candidates for Monday MVP. So again, you can check out that poll online. But keeping that in mind, of the four teams that won at home, the four higher seeds that won at home this weekend so far, each of them went over 168 yards rushing. That's impressive. And in some cases, the quarterbacks didn't even come close. Lamar Jackson didn't have anywhere near the type of passing yards that Baltimore got on the ground. Jalen Hurts didn't either. And so it's kind of interesting to think about what's changed. Jalen only had 131 passing yards. So for the teams that are winning, the majority of them, it's actually not about this high-flying passing attack. Though, of course, you've got quarterbacks who can throw the ball. But if you can run it and you can put together long, extended drives, you can not only wear down the defense of your opponent, which helps you later in the game, but you keep the ball away from the other team, which is huge. That means their quarterback and their offense can't hurt you when they're reading books on the sidelines. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. What book would you read on the sidelines of an NFL game when you're taking a breather? Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Just for fun, let's start there because A.J. Brown was caught reading a book. So he pulls the book out from somewhere behind the bench, probably got his bag stashed there somewhere, pulls the book out and is actually reading it. Now, this is part of the conversation on TV as they're reacting to him only getting three targets. So this is the Fox game on Sunday. It's Kevin Burkhart. It's Tom Brady. They're calling Packers Eagles. And A.J. Brown, they're wondering about whether or not he's disgruntled, whether or not he's frustrated. And then he pulls this book out and starts reading it.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it a recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But that's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it. And, you know, because for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything. But, you know, I got to make sure my mental goes. So it's something like how I refresh every drive. You know, regardless of if I score a touchdown or I drop a pass, I always go back to that book every drive and just refocus.
I've never seen him read. I've seen the book in his hands. Everybody has a different thing and finds their flow in different ways. So that's how he chooses to do it.
I suppose that's not so different than having notes that you would refer to, maybe scout. So Ryan's kind of shaking his head. I know he probably doesn't have the scout for the Packers written in the book, but if that helps him focus, wouldn't that be the same as another player prepping with a scout or, I don't know, watching video or looking at the plays on his wristband, something like that? If this is what helps A.J. Brown stay mentally focused or mentally prepared to be on the field, it just looked odd. That's all. I've never seen a player read a book on the sidelines.
But the book wasn't like, okay, it's plays, it's scouting. It looked like a 500-page novel that he was reading, and he just like flipped to a random page. I saw no bookmark. So does he like read random words?
So actually, I saw one of the And Brown was talking about after the game that it gives him a sense of peace. But I saw one reporter who, I'm going to have to go back and find it online, but he actually had the book in his hands. So apparently someone went over to AJ and asked about the book and ended up getting a photo of it. The Fox, maybe it was, so Tom Rinaldi and Aaron Andrews are working that game. Maybe it was Rinaldi. But the Fox broadcast later identified the book as Inner Excellence. So that's the title of the book. It's called Inner Excellence, an inspirational manual for, quote, self-mastery and powerful mental habits. So essentially, it's a self-help book, but it was written by a former pro athlete, Cubs player Jim Murphy, and it's designed for pro athletes.
Okay, I found it. It was James Palmer.
Oh, James Palmer. Okay, so NFL Network.
Yes, it was annotated too. So this picture, it's highlighted and underlined.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not like he just pulled some book off the shelf and he'd never opened it before. It actually looks like it's very well loved. It's got dog ears and it's got pages bent back, and it actually looks like the cover is partially torn. And in the book, he's got a bunch of highlighted sections with a yellow highlighter, underlined sections.
It's good quotes. It's about don't be hard on yourself, and stress is just, you know, a good challenge.
Mm-hmm. He tweeted himself, "The game is 90% mental, 10% physical for me. I bring this book," he's got photos of the book, "to every game and I read it between each drive. I use it to refocus and lock in despite what may transpire in the game, good or bad. People tend to create controversy when they don't know the truth." So actually, he put photos of it himself out there so that people could see. It's called Inner Excellence. I failed to see how that's any different than a scout.
I could not focus reading self-help books on the sideline. I have too many things going on in my mind to start reading a book.
But isn't that the point? Rather than your mind running wild and your brain going off on all different tangents and in every different direction, he's using it to stay locked into the task at hand.
I thought the task at hand was getting open or something else. It's a little odd, to say the least.
But if A.J. Brown's issue is not running routes, right? He can do that in his sleep. He's been doing that for years and years. Maybe his issue is about not getting frustrated when the ball's not coming to him. I'm just saying, and I'm not, I don't know this to be true, but if what his challenge is not getting upset because he's not getting targeted, doesn't this book potentially remind him, I don't know, it's a team game and you have to be ready when you're called on and blah, 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 blah. Like, could it be something along those lines where it's not about your circumstances, it's about how you navigate and handle challenging circumstances?
That just proves to me he's a little too emotionally invested. Which is some, maybe
right, but that's kind of the point, though, right? Is if you don't channel your emotions and control them for the better good, they will control you. I mean, think about the number of diva wide receivers on the sidelines that could probably use something like this.
He has had like 3 incidents this year with the Eagles.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe this isn't. He said it's 90% mental for him. It's not about getting out there and catching the ball. He can do that. We've seen him do that over and over. It's about being ready. It's about not reacting to some of the things that might tend to tip the scales toward frustration or anxiety or whatever else. I mean, I've never
playing
seen
for
it.
Sirianni.
I've never seen it before. But I don't know why it isn't more common, actually, now hearing his explanation. Jalen even admitted, "I've seen his book. I've seen his book on the sidelines. I've just never actually seen him read it during a game." But he says he pulls it out in every break that he gets, right? So when he's not out there on the field. Of course, the way the defense played against the Packers, you would expect that there were some quick turnarounds for the offense, and he didn't have time to pull the book out. I'm actually watching it right now on NFL Network, so they're going back and replaying Eagles and Packers. So from that game, we did not pick someone to be part of the Monday MVP poll. We only had 4 slots. You're always welcome to write in your own candidate and then cast your own ballot. But yeah, we've got some good candidates in there. It's a conversation starter, and we're happy to see how it plays out over the next 24 hours. Let's talk to Daryl, who's in Tampa. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, Miss Amy, Jamie. I haven't called in a long time, but you got to excuse me if my voice is kind of hoarse.
Were you screaming?
Yeah, kind of sad. I was going to say, since you put that caveat in there, the Commanders quarterback, that guy is he's special. He's going to be special.
His ice water. He's got ice water in his veins.
Yeah, he broke my heart.
Oh.
But I got to say, I need love for mother. But I would have to say Derrick Henry. The Steelers, man, he killed the vampire. He brought the stake and killed the vampire. But the music that you played before your segment came in, you know, that old NFL music, got my voice sounding like I'm John Susenta, and this is NFL Films.
Yeah, we do love the old NFL Films music for sure. It's classic. Yeah. It's something you can recognize no matter where you are or how long you've heard it. It's just, it's so good. Yeah. I would agree with you about Derrick Henry. He's my vote as well, just because the pressure he takes off of an MVP and allows Lamar to excel and flourish even more, that has been stunning. And
I think that's going to be a factor.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to let you know, there's a lot of talk for some people down here. They want to get rid of Coach Todd Bowles. He's won the our conference 3 years straight, but they want to get rid of him.
The NFC South, right? He's helped. Actually, it's four, I think. The two with Brady, and then the two with. Oh, that's right. So Arians won it before he did.
With Arian, and in the history books, the first NFL team to host and win a Super Bowl. But after that, it just, some people, they don't really appreciate him and want him to leave.
Well, I got to say, even if that is, and I can imagine it's a popular majority opinion, but even if there are some who feel that way, it's not happening. They're not getting rid of Todd Bowles.
No, I don't want him to go. Thanks to Tom.
I appreciate it, Daryl. Good to talk to you. Poor guy. He's got a misery Monday ahead of him. But misery does love company, so we offer you the company here on After Hours should you need it. All right. Some people don't believe me, Ryan. I put it on our Facebook page about what book would you read on the sideline of an NFL game when you're taking a breather, and I guess people didn't see it or don't have any idea what I'm talking about, because a couple of people write on Facebook, James, reading at a football game, at an NFL game? Good one, Amy. Okay. And then someone else writes, you're kidding, right? Too much going on at an NFL game to read any book. So either they haven't seen it or they're not listening to the show at this moment, because I'm telling you, it's going to be a viral headline on Monday because of what AJ Brown had to say, the fact that these types of videos and posts tend to go viral. It's going to get picked up by news agencies, no doubt, because it's one of those unique type of moments that you don't see every day or any day, really.
You see the headlines now. Is there trouble? AJ Brown reads book.
AJ Brown checks out and reads book during NFL game.
Does he want out?
All right, Eagles and Packers, the highlights, the reaction coming up at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours. We'll throw up that Monday MVP poll on our Facebook page too, 855-212-4227. Good morning to you. Happy miserable Monday if you're on the losing end here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hurts in the gun with Barkley to his right. On second down, Hurts drops, steps up. He's looking, he's rolling, he's back, still looking, and he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open, touchdown, and it goes to Johan Dotson.
Long, out of the gun, drops back to pass, looks up, fires to the middle, intercepted! Zach Vaughn has it at the 40, running to the far side to the 50, and out of bounds at the 45-yard line. It's the third turnover forced by the Eagles in this first half.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was definitely a tough first half for the Packers in Philadelphia, though it could have been worse, to be honest. They were only trailing 10-0 at the break. But what have we talked about with the Packers all season? when they fall into these holes early in games, they really struggle. That's been a constant theme for them in 2024 and now into 25. Their opponent jumping on them early and them having slow starts. And in this case, they fumble the opening kickoff. Right there, they fumble the opening kickoff. Three snaps later, the Eagles have a touchdown with Dotson going in from 11 yards out. Actually catches it at the back of the end zone and is waiting there for Jalen Hurts to find him. The Philadelphia defense also comes up with a big sack of Jordan Love on third down. That's their second drive. And then the second quarter is brutal, as you hear with Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio and then Tom McCarthy on Westwood One. The Packers throw a pick in the second quarter, miss a field goal in the second quarter, throw another interception in the second quarter. And like I said, they could have been down a lot more than 10-0, except the Eagles' offense was also scuffling a bit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, the Packers do put 10 points on the board on their first two possessions to start the second half. Josh Jacobs with a bruising 32-yard run that set up his one-yard touchdown. But the run itself beforehand was terrific. He's dragging defenders with him. He's taking hits. He's keeping his feet just churning, and he's staying up. He's still balanced and is moving forward. It was impressive. And that did briefly bring the Packers within 6 points. And that's partly because the Eagles were 1-for-4 in the red zone, but they continued to take time off the clock, even when they had to settle for field goals. So 7:23 in the second half for just another field goal, right? But the defense was also doing its job, forcing quick Packers possessions. And even if all they were doing was putting field goals on the board, at least they weren't allowing the Packers to score. And yeah, just a rough day for Jordan Love all around.
Love back. He's rolling. He's still rolling. He is going deep downfield, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! The first interception of Quinjon Mitchell's career. And now it's time for the victory formation. It wasn't the best game the Eagles ever played, but it was a very solid win.
Yeah, at this point, who cares? All you need to do in the playoffs is to survive so that you can advance. Merrill Reese again with the calls there. And Quinjon Mitchell gets the interception off Love to effectively end the game. So three interceptions by Jordan, plus the fumble to start the game off the kick. And Philadelphia has no turnovers. So you're losing the turnover battle 4-0. And yeah, that's rough. So not only did they start in a hole, which Matt LaFleur has been chirping about all season long, but they're not able to drag themselves out of it because the offense was going nowhere fast.
We didn't have a whole lot of luck running the ball, like consistently getting them out of that. There were a couple drives where I thought we did pretty well. I thought Josh competed his butt off. I thought we were competing. It's just we weren't as productive as we'd like to be. And then the pass game was just pretty much a struggle all night.
That was their goal, was to take away the run. And they did a good job of that. But, you know, right after the game, I'm not sure. It's something that I'll look at and see what we could have done better. Maybe done differently, things like that. But, you know, I think that's a big part of our offense. I think they did a good job of trying to take that away as best they could.
Yeah, they definitely did. And we talked about the teams that won, other than the Commanders, who I maybe had 101 yards. Can't remember exactly what they had, but they weren't heavy on the run game. Philadelphia had 169 yards rushing. They also struggled to get the passing attack in any type of a rhythm, but the defense was more than capable of limiting. Now, it's only fair to mention that the Packers also lost multiple receivers during this game. So they had already played with different guys on and off the field, but Romeo Doubs, he left because of a concussion in the third quarter, fell really hard in the end zone. was about to or was trying to catch a touchdown pass there. Got broken up, and he never returned after he went into the blue. Well, he was in the blue tent, and then he was off. He needed help to get back to the locker room. So it was actually a pretty scary sight, and he had another concussion earlier in the season. So worried about Romeo Doubs, to be sure. But they also were without one of their guards from the offensive line, and they were trying to sub in as you know, second and third stringers there on the offense and hope that they could have a rhythm with Jordan Love. Jaden Reed was out in the third quarter because of a shoulder injury. So they were dropping pieces. Part of the reason that Jordan Love struggled, but he also had some throws that were high and he had some throws that were off the mark and maybe forcing things a little bit because they were desperate to try to get something going.
There were a couple times where we had guys open and, you know, when one ball gets batted at the line of scrimmage, it just, you know, there was sometimes we didn't have great protection. So I think it was a multitude of things throughout the course of the game that led to a poor performance in the pass game.
Matt LaFleur talking about the offense specifically and Jordan Love, who goes 20 of 33 for the 212, but has the three picks. Now, remember, the Packers dropped back-to-back games and fell to the 7 seed. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been in Philadelphia. And maybe, just maybe, it's about not being able to turn the ship around in time to change, right? You don't have the bye, of course, and there's only one bye now in the NFL, but they weren't playing well to end the regular season. Remember, they got upended by Chicago in the final game week 18, the final game of the season, and really didn't see much from their offense at all in this one, though a little bit from Josh Jacobs here and there, but just not enough. And to fall into a hole again is really a microcosm of their season as it was. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Saquon Barkley doesn't get into the end zone, but he does have 119 yards on the ground and couldn't care less whether or not this was aesthetically pleasing as a dub.
We won a football game. That's a really good team. This playoff football. There's 14 teams in, and you know, it's the best 14 teams. And at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do, and there's things we can improve anytime, no matter what. Even if we came out here and won 4-3, there's going to be stuff we can improve on.
Ultimately, you just kind of want to impose your will and style of play, you know, and I think we know we're capable of doing a number of different things, but we just have to find our rhythm and go out there, ultimately execute.
I was thinking about it while I was watching this game, how earlier in the season, Philadelphia fans were angry at the fact that the Eagles didn't have enough passing yards. They weren't passing the ball enough. They have Saquon Barkley, who is an MVP candidate, goes over 2,000 yards rushing. Jalen Hurts, who has what, 16? Is it 16 tush-push touchdowns, something along those lines? Just the fact that they can run the ball so effectively. When he passes the ball, he's got so much time to be able to pass the ball. He doesn't ever really have to be in a hurry because the offensive line protects extremely well. So he only has 131 passing yards and a couple of touchdowns in this one. And yet I wondered if Eagles fans would complain about the fact that they didn't do enough through the air, that A.J. Brown was only targeted 3 times and just had the one catch and had plenty of time to read. Yeah, their offense didn't look great either, and they know it, but the run game, the time of possession, and certainly the defense were great.
We struggled a little bit as an offense. You know, I don't think we had the game that we wanted to have on offense. We're going to go back to work tomorrow, and, you know, no victory Monday for us. I mean, we could play Saturday, too. We don't know. But no victory Monday for us. We're going to go back to work because we do have a lot of things to clean up.
Okay, so we now know that the Eagles and the Bills, the 2 seeds, will host on Sunday. So they do have a full work week. The 1s will host on Saturday, and the 2s will host on Sunday. Though the Eagles don't yet know their opponent, it will either be Vikings or Rams, because that's the 4-5 game from Glendale on Monday. I mean, there were some positives, of course. Being able to run the ball 169 yards, that's huge. The fact that their defense gave them such a great margin for error, But certainly to be 1 of 4 in the red zone isn't going to work against a better opponent. So the deeper they get into the playoffs, the more they're going to have to capitalize on those opportunities. You haven't seen the interception by Darius Slay. Oh, it was tremendous. Tracking the ball all the way as it's coming in and kind of over his left shoulder, he hauls it in. The defense was awesome. And looking ahead to the divisional round now, I mean, you're talking about, again, another step forward where the defenses and the offenses only get better.
Well, I've been to a lot to the playoffs now since I've been half of my career, but, man, I just ain't, you know what I'm saying, this is my second time going past the first round. So I'm trying to, you know, soak that in, and then, but, you know, I look forward into whoever we play next. But, you know, we already know we're going to worry about the next opponent next. We're not worried about, you know, NFC division round or whatever, all that. We worry about the next, whoever we got next.
So the Eagles, they get to wait, they get to watch. I guess that's the benefit of being done on Sunday, and now you can actually watch Vikings and Rams on Monday and know how that plays out and get an early jump on the scout. I looked it up. I believe Jalen had 14 rushing touchdowns this season. Now, I don't know that all of them were the one-yard variety, but the fact that he was in the end zone that much took away from some of Saquon Barkley's touchdowns, though the run game has been their identity. So don't complain. Don't shoot a gift horse in the mouth. And don't worry about A.J. Brown reading on the sidelines, because apparently it's exactly what he needs to do to be effective as wide receiver one. 855-212-4227 coming up. Raven, you want to talk about running the ball. Ravens ran all over the Steelers. The Steelers finished with 5 consecutive losses and now extending that dubious playoff streak. I know there are calls from Mike Tomlin's head today. Well, and they started on Saturday night under the lights. This was total domination. They didn't even need to play the second half, honestly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, who's your Monday MVP at A-Law Radio, now up on our Facebook page. Hope you had a great weekend. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Give it to Henry. Left side. He's got a hole. He's in a 5. He's in. Touchdown, Ravens. Derrick Henry with the 5th postseason rushing touchdown of his career. Jackson will hand it off. Derrick Henry up the middle. He's in the 30. 20. Leg race. Gone. Touchdown, Derrick Henry. And they're going wild at M&T.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The first half was so lopsided between the Steelers and the Ravens. They didn't even need to play the second half, though of course they do, because there's no mercy rule in pro sports. But boy, this was rough for Pittsburgh fans and for Pittsburgh Steelers themselves. Mike Tomlin, I can only imagine what he was feeling like as he's watching this play out. Here are some of the bold numbers from the first half. As you hear Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio, just a portion of the Derrick Henry success. Couple of touchdowns, 299 team yards on the ground, most ever allowed by Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Henry himself goes for 186. So in the first half, you ready for this? Ravens, 19 first downs. Steelers, 2. Ravens, 308 total yards. Steelers, 59. Ravens, 7 for 8 on third down. Ravens, 164 yards rushing in the first half. How about this? The number of plays. Ravens, 41. Steelers, 18. And Baltimore goes 3 for 3 in the red zone. We should have known. Baltimore's first drive, 95 yards. Takes 7 minutes off the clock, and they do finish with a Rashad Bateman touchdown catch. So Lamar throwing in that situation. But on the second drive, all 13 snaps are run plays. They did whatever the heck they wanted to do, and the Steelers powerless to do anything to stop it. At one point, this was the game that was on Amazon Prime. Maybe you heard Al Michaels questioning the fight of the Steelers or the lack thereof. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Certainly there were a couple of touchdowns there in the second half that made it look more respectable, I guess, for a time. The Steelers went 98 yards to start the third quarter and got a touchdown to Van Jefferson. And then Russ later found George Pickens for 36 yards. But that was before he raised eyebrows at the postgame press conference, because that's what George Pickens does these days, is raise eyebrows. Mostly this was about the ease with which the Ravens were able to jam the ball down the Steelers' throats repeatedly. And not just that, have their way on the line of scrimmage and set up their power back, Derrick Henry. Once he gets to the second level of defense, he is gone. And so the Steelers end up dropping their sixth in a row in the postseason. So six consecutive losses now in the postseason, five in a row to end their 2024/25 campaign. You could say this is about Lamar Jackson. And yeah, he was terrific. But Derrick Henry takes so much pressure off him. This was a near perfect first half and a terrific win for Baltimore.
I think we did a great job on that as an offense, and just playing complimentary football as a whole, as a team, and glad to get a win because the division opponent is a great team.
That's a very physical defense. That's a tough defensive line. Their linebackers are downhill. I mean, we know Patrick Roberts is a great player. Their guys on the edge are just a nightmare to deal with. They were crashing the ends off the edge. It was very physical. You know, we were able to control the edges for the run game as much as anything. And how about our tackles in the pass game? It wasn't like we were chipping all the time when we were passing. I thought our tackles did a great job.
Shout out to the offensive line. You know, shout out to Trav with the game plan. And Derek. Can't take nothing away from Darren, man. He's just that guy. But off the line, got great penetration, kept blocking those guys. Great defensive front. Great linebackers. But our guys were just hungry.
We're going to see and hear more of the Ravens, of course, because as the three seed in the AFC, they are headed to Buffalo. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for this game. The two seeds, the Eagles and the Bills, will be hosting on Sunday. And as we've seen from the NFL and their schedule, the Bills will have the late game. So we don't know who Philadelphia's opponent is yet. That will be determined later on tonight. But they've got the early game on Sunday. So a 3 o'clock Philadelphia start and then 6:30 start under the lights in Orchard Park. It's going to be terrific. Can't wait for Baltimore and Buffalo. Although it is a repeat, if you will. Not really. I mean, they're different teams. Things are always changing over the course of a season. But it is a rematch from a game earlier, first month of the regular season in which, yeah, the Ravens had their way. This game was played in Baltimore, so that's one big difference. But looking at the box score, in that game, the Ravens rushed for 271. Now, if the Bills give up those kind of rushing yards next weekend, they're sunk. 299 for the Ravens against the Steelers defense that is supposed to have more teeth than that. So, what about it, Mike Tomlin? A dubious exit from the postseason.
You know, we just weren't good enough, to be quite honest with you. We, you know, a drop here and there and things of that nature, man, when you're playing good people, it really gets highlighted. And we just weren't good enough.
Five consecutive losses to wrap up this season. Remember, they ran the table in the final month. They were going the wrong way. So not only did they lose their grip on the AFC North, but went into the playoffs, maybe with a lack of confidence, but certainly not with any type of rhythm. So George Pickens, he's, I think, someone that people would point to and say he's kind of part of the problem right now. I don't know if it will stay that way. He and Russ really never meshed all that much, but he's definitely been frustrated and more about the discontent than about being part of the solution. So he was talking about losing five in a row to end the season.
Close the season out on five game losing streak, including the playoffs. So we got to figure out what's the problem. We got to figure out how to get better. We got to figure out how to get past that point. We got to figure out how to finish strong in seasons to go into the playoffs hot.
And then he was asked a question about whether or not he's seen growth over the course of the year.
Yeah, I've seen signs of growth for sure. From past, you know, the first year I've been here, just way more growth for sure.
George, does that make you optimistic going forward?
Nah.
If you can't hear the reporter's question, he was following up with, does that make you more optimistic for the future? And George's response is, nah. Don't. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So what about the Steelers quarterback situation, right? Because you've got Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and shoot, I forgot who's the other one. There's three guys there. They're all free agents. So they're all on contracts that are done, right? They're all free. Why are you making that face?
Trying to think of the third quarterback.
Yeah, I don't remember who the third quarterback is now at this moment. It's escaped me. Now, don't look it up. I want to hear from Mike Tomlin about the Steelers quarterback situation.
Take a big picture approach. You know, I'm really assessing what happened today, man. And I'm certainly appreciative of their efforts tonight. But I could say that largely for the entire season. They're two quality people, three quality people at the quarterback position, man. And I really appreciate what they poured into this.
It's Kyle Allen, in case you're wondering.
Never would have got that.
Yeah, no, me neither. Except I did read it earlier in the day, but I guess it kind of went through my mind. Just meaning, of course, that they don't have guys ready for 2025. This was supposed to be a short-term solution, and maybe with the play of Russell Wilson, I don't know, when he first went out there on the field and took over. Remember, he was hurt to begin the season, and they had Justin in there as well. If Russell played well, maybe he would earn himself another contract. And he did spark the offense initially, but it just wasn't sustainable. Too many situations where they were settling for field goals, so that's part of the issue. There were a lot of drops. That was another part of the issue. Turnovers, another part of the issue. And then just the... In general, the passing attack lacked any type of consistency, downfield ability. Just, oh man, what a mess. I don't know what happens next, but there's a lot to figure out in Pittsburgh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.